Welcome, everyone. Today we're going into a deep dive on a really powerful message from Brother Steve this past Sunday, August 17th.
That's right. It was titled The Judgment of the Believer's Works.
Exactly. And our goal here is to pull out some of the, well, the profound insights from that message about living as Christians today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, what we need to remember as we move forward in, let's face it, a pretty challenging world sometimes. Our source is the transcript from the New Life Benson YouTube channel.
And it really centered, didn't it, on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, a foundational passage for understanding our life as believers.
Absolutely foundational.
And Brother Steve brought up that intriguing question of, you know, where and when does this judgment of our works actually happen?
Right, the Bema Seat.
Yes, the Bema Seat.
Yeah.
Which he explained isn't about salvation judgment, that's settled, but it's an evaluation for believers, for our service, our actions, for rewards.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned different views on the timing, maybe right after death, maybe during the tribulation, or possibly at the end of time. So lots to consider there.
Definitely sets us up for a significant discussion. He started off exploring Paul's description of himself, wise master builder.
Well, he clarified that, didn't he?
He did. The Greek word architecton means more like a skillful master builder.
Which is a great distinction.
It implies more than just drawing plans, right? Paul wasn't just the architect. He was like the general contractor, too, involved in the building.
Deeply involved. It shows that comprehensive role, that real commitment, something all the apostles shared in furthering God's kingdom.
So Paul laid that initial groundwork in places like Corinth.
Yes, what Brother Steve called the apostolic foundation of the doctrines concerning Jesus Christ. And then others, like Apollos, you know, built on top of that.
But that led to a problem there in Corinth.
It did. People started dividing up, saying, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, creating factions.
And Paul's response was pretty strong.
Very strong. He corrected them quite clearly. Our allegiance, our true following, must be to Jesus Christ himself, not to men.
Which brings us right to that vital question.
Mm-hmm.
What is this unshakable foundation?
And Brother Steve was crystal clear on this.
He certainly was. The foundation is Jesus Christ, period.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about how easy it is to try and build on other things. Things that seem good. Ethics, kindness, tradition, even just doing good works.
But those aren't the foundation.
No.
Uh-huh.
He stressed that the foundation, Christ, was laid one time. Historically. It's done.
So our job now,
our ongoing task as the church today, is to keep building on that foundation. He gave examples like, you know, giving to missions or running children's programs.
Rank the New Life Kids program mentioned with 50 children. That's building on the foundation.
Exactly. Nurturing the next generation in the faith.
And when you think about it, the whole Bible is really about Christ, isn't it?
It truly is.
The Gospels tell his story. The epistles explain the principles of living because of him. Revelation shows his reign and return. It all points back to Christ.
That focus was clear in the early church, too.
Absolutely. Remember how the apostles prioritized teaching, doctrine, and prayer? They even appointed deacons for practical needs, like caring for widows.
Right, so they could stay focused on that core spiritual work.
It really underscores that we don't need a new foundation. We don't need another human go-between. Jesus is sufficient.
That's such a key truth for us today. Brother Steve then pointed us to Peter's incredible boldness in Acts chapter 4.
Oh, yes. Before the Sanhedrin.
Right after healing the lame man. Peter just lays it out there in Acts 4:10. Salvation is found in no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved than Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
The one they crucified, but God raised. What a declaration.
Talk about conviction.
And Peter was echoing prophecies, wasn't he? Linking Jesus to Isaiah and the Psalms. The cornerstone.
The stone the builders rejected.
Exactly. Which has become the chief cornerstone. For believers, he's precious, even if rejected by others. It's a powerful image.
Did Brother Steve apply that quite broadly?
He did. He said this truth isn't just for individuals. It applies to families, homes, cities, states, even nations.
That really makes you think.
Especially when you look around today, he suggested quite pointedly that some of the turmoil we see is evidence of moving away from that foundation.
A sobering thought. So after establishing the foundation, he moved to the, well, the core of the message, the materials we build with.
Right. Assuming we are believers building on that foundation of Christ, because only saved people can build something lasting on it.
And the contrast in materials is stark. gold, silver, precious stones.
Versus wood, hay, and stubble.
A huge difference.
And this points to something quite striking that Brother Steve noted from the text. Not all churches, and maybe more personally, not all Christians, are the same in their, let's say, eternal impact.
Some contribute more, some less.
Yeah, all are saved. Which raises that question. If everyone's saved, why do the materials matter so much?
And the answer?
It's about rewards. The materials represent different levels of spiritual function, of commitment, of service. That's how the Lord evaluates us for rewards.
It challenges us beyond just showing up.
Definitely.
Use that great analogy. Imagine building a magnificent temple for God with unlimited resources available.
Mm-hmm.
Would you use granite, marble, gold overlay?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you use wood, hay, and stubble?
Obvious choice, right? But the crucial point he made
is that we all have the same limitless resource. The Holy Spirit.
Who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ephesians 3.20.
So the limitation isn't God's power.
No, it's our willingness, our choice of materials, so to speak.
And he clarified about the wood, hay, stubble.
Right. They aren't inherently evil things. They have uses. But for this building, for building on the foundation of Christ,
they're worthless. For reward, that is.
Exactly. You wouldn't build a, quote, house made of wood with a stubble roof and made out of hay and mud walls on such a glorious foundation.
It just doesn't fit.
The quality of our service,
yeah,
our devotion that determines the worth of our building in God's eyes. It's about the heart behind it.
He then broke down the spiritual meaning of the materials, which was really helpful.
Yes, very practical.
Gold. That's the very best service for Christ. Living a God-like, Christ-like life. Dedication, sacrifice, total commitment. Pure motives.
The highest value?
Silver. Still valuable, still making an eternal contribution, but maybe just a step below gold in terms of that absolute dedication.
Still precious, though.
Then wood. Hey, stubble. This could be just, well, coming to church and doing nothing more. Or maybe being busy with programs.
But neglecting the core things.
Right, like real worship, focused prayer, getting into the Word. Attending church is good, vital even. But if that's all there is.
Without that deeper investment, that heart transformation.
And then in this context, it's viewed as stubble. It's being passive rather than active for the kingdom.
And ultimately, only God can truly judge the difference between real gold and just, you know, fool's gold. Superficial appearances.
That really makes you examine your own heart, doesn't it?
It does. It encourages that critical thinking about what truly matters day to day.
So moving to the judgment itself at the Bema Seat. Brother Steve laid out three key areas for evaluation, for rewards. First, motive.
Ah, yes. 1 Corinthians 4.5.
The Lord comes who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the motives of your heart. So, is the motive to glorify God? That's gold.
Or is it for self-praise? The look at me stuff.
That's worthless. Wood, hay, stubble. Second area. Conduct.
Our daily walk, 2 Corinthians 5.10.
Each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Our actions, how we actually live out our faith.
Makes sense.
And third, service, ministry, use of spiritual gifts.
This is crucial. Every believer has gifts from God.
Unique gifts meant to be used for his kingdom. And he made that distinction between natural talents like singing.
Which are abilities fine in themselves.
But might just be hay, stubble, and wood if not yielded to God's glory versus spiritual gifts.
Which he called the supreme way that God wants you to serve. Using what he specifically equipped you for.
Powerful categories to reflect on.
And this all leads to the final test, the fire.
1 Corinthians 3.13.
Each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is.
The fire reveals the quality.
Exactly. Any hay, wood, and stubble in our building, it gets burned up, deemed worthless for reward.
But the person?
The believer themselves is still saved. The verse says, as through fire, like escaping a burning building, salvation is secure. It's a gift.
But the rewards for service can be lost.
Correct. The evaluation is about the service, not salvation.
Which really underlines the seriousness of how we live. Brother Steve connected this directly to things like harboring ill will or spiritual laziness or unconfessed sin.
Basically building with flammable materials.
Yes. Building with hay, wood, and stubble. It's a profound call to examine our spiritual condition, not just for assurance of salvation, but for the quality of what we're building, especially living in, well, the kind of world we're in.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to touch on that concern people sometimes have. What about believers who come to faith late in life, or those who seem to have minimal rewards?
That's a fair question.
Brother Steve reiterated, the Bema Seat is for rewards, not punishment. So even if someone has fewer rewards, maybe they're in, as he put it humorously, the basement of heaven, the incredible blessing is simply being in heaven, being with the Lord. That reality itself dwarfs anything on earth, and certainly the alternative.
Being there is the ultimate prize.
Absolutely. And in heaven, the reward truly is the presence of the Lord, our ability to worship and praise him forever. That's the real gold.
That is a truly wonderful and, yes, comforting thought. It leaves us then with a powerful challenge, doesn't it? Straight from the message.
It does.
It really encourages you, our listener, to reflect personally. What are you building with right now, today? Are you actively striving for gold, silver, precious stones in your motives, in your conduct, day by day, in how you serve God and others with the gifts he's given you?
Or are we maybe, perhaps without realizing it, just settling for wood, hay, and stubble? Busyness without eternal weight.
It's a searching question. Because the ultimate reward, as you just said, is that amazing, glorious presence of the Lord.
Forever.
So it's really something to consider deeply. How can we maximize our spiritual impact for his glory right here, right now? And what will that mean for eternity? What ultimately will endure that fire?